Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." The devil took him to the holy city, had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It's also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Have the children come down for the children's sermon. I thought maybe there was a halo over my head.
Oh,
yeah. Now, are your words and your actions really? There's my point. Sermon over. Amen. Okay, here we go. Grace be unto you, peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What I want you to do is this. I want you to take a moment and I want you to think about what's your favorite Bible story. You don't have to yell it out or you don't have to write it down or anything. I just want you to think what your favorite Bible story might be. Now, maybe some of you didn't have a difficult time doing that, and maybe some of you, you've got just too many to try to figure it out. For me, that would be a really difficult decision, but I do know that the gospel lesson that we have before us today, the temptation of Jesus, would be one of those stories. It is one of my all-time favorite stories in the Bible. And as I thought about that story, I came across an article by Keith Miller. Now, Keith Miller was a very prolific Christian writer. He was a speaker, just a marvelous speaker, a marvelous author, marvelous counselor. Died just a little over a year ago. Great loss to the church. But he wrote about temptation. And I just want to share with you some of his thoughts on this because it just spoke to me. Maybe it won't speak to you, but it spoke to me. He says, temptation is a strange experience for me. I want to be God's person. But I also have some deep human needs for approval, affection, and the satisfaction of strong physical and emotional drives. When wrestling with a specific temptation, I seem to change into a different person inside. I have a kind of tunnel vision and only see the object of my resentment, greed, or lust. All else is blotted out. I'm no longer the smiling, friendly Christian, but instead, I'm an intense and sweating stranger, yet not a stranger, for I know this one so well. Reason waits outside the door of temptation for me. I argue against my conscience, dazzle myself with agile rationalizations. By that time, the battle's lost. Of course, sometimes there are long periods of peace and productivity when all the dragons appear to be dead. And then one day, when I'm seemingly in good control of my emotions, I'm suddenly in the midst of temptation. My senses are alive to the object of my resentment or my desire. I am practically engulfed in the urge to surrender to my inclination, to glorify my desire above everything, and sweeping away reason, goodness, God's will, caution, and the potential guilt, I succumb. I don't know. Maybe some of those words resonate with you. Maybe all of them do. Maybe they don't. But they do to me. Temptation is something that no matter how hard we try, we cannot get away from. It surrounds us each and every day. So as we look at this text, the question is, why did Jesus share this? I mean, this was a very personal experience. There were no disciples around. He had to tell it to them so that they could write it down. Nobody was there to observe it, just him. Why did he tell it? And what does it have to say to us today? And I think the reason that he told it is this. Because his disciples, like us, are surrounded by temptation. Every day we're surrounded by it, whether it's big or whether it's little. Every time we make a decision, we have to think about what it is that we're going to say and what it is that we're going to do. There's always some kind of temptation that exists. You just can't get away from it. We'd like to sometimes, but we can't. Sometimes we think, you know, because we follow Jesus, we shouldn't have those things. We ought to be able to conquer those, just like that. But the fact is, we don't. And Jesus never promises that. He never promises that just because you follow, you're never going to have temptation or you're never going to have problems. Those things are always going to be a part of our life. So the question is, if we can't get away from them, what are we going to do about them? What are we going to do? Well, one of the things that we can do is maybe look at them in a different light than we normally look at them. When we say the word temptation, we always think of something what? Really bad, right? I'm tempted. Tempted by the cookie that I know I shouldn't eat. I'm tempted by the chocolate that I know I shouldn't eat. I'm tempted to say something that I know I shouldn't say. I'm tempted to do something that I know I shouldn't do. And we wrestle and we struggle with those things. But what if we looked at temptation not as something bad, but rather as opportunities? Gotta get the guy's name right. Author Gary Zukav says that maybe we ought to look at temptation not as something bad, but as golden opportunities. Just because you're tempted doesn't mean you're going to do something, does it? I certainly hope not. Or boy, are we in trouble. So why don't we do some of the things that we do? Because we have the opportunity to think about it, to pray about it, to look at the things that could happen, the positive things and the negative things that could happen if we did it. And so if we take those opportunities and we use them, we have the chance to keep from making mistakes, to keep from falling into the temptations that surround us. But here's the other thing. You're not always going to escape. Okay? You will not always escape. There are times when you are going to succumb to temptation. Now, that's not a blank check that says, okay, well, I know I'm only human, so I can just do whatever it is that I want to do, because God already knows that you're already human. And he says what? There are some stuff you just don't do. Nor can you use my favorite one of all time, the devil made me do it. Let me tell you something. The devil does not make you do anything. The devil did not make Eve eat of the fruit of the apple or whatever fruit that was. Maybe it was a pomegranate. I don't know. doesn't say, it just says fruit. Devil never made her eat the fruit, didn't twist her arm behind her back and say, take the stuff in your mouth, get that down there. Nor did he make Adam take a bite out of that. Neither did Eve. They each made their own decisions. There are things that influence us. There are things that influence the way we think and the way we look at things. But ultimately, what we do, what we say, how we act, how we respond is our responsibility. It's not the devil's. And you are not, I don't care how good a baseball player you are, you will never bat 1,000. Okay? Just can't do it. You can't do it. But when we do fall short, what we need to remember is this. God still cares about us. God still loves us. And one of the temptations that we often face is to tell ourselves that when we goof up, maybe God doesn't care. You know, that's kind of, if you look at this story, Jesus goes and he's baptized by John the Baptist. He hears a voice from God, says, you are my son, with you I'm well pleased. He goes out in the wilderness, spends 40 days and 40 nights, he fasts, he prays, and the very first thing the devil tempts him with is what? It's not turning stones into bread. That's not the first temptation. No, it's not power. You want to know what the first temptation is? It's this. If you are the Son of God. That's really the first temptation. He says that twice. Both the first and the second time. If you are the Son of God, then you can. In other words, do you really believe it? And you know, we've been told from the time that we're little that we're sons and daughters of God. But yet, when we mess up, when we succumb to temptation, when we trip and stumble and fall, don't we wonder sometimes? God, how can you love me? I don't even like me right now. If I don't like me, how can you? I mean, I know you ought to, but how can you? How come I can't follow sometimes the simplest things there are to say and to do? I mean, I want to so badly, and yet I can't. I'd like to tell you I can, but I can't. Neither can you. And so there's this temptation. If you're really a child of God, why in the world would you do this stuff? Well, because children of God stumble and fall. And children of God live under grace. And if you ever question that, if you ever doubt that, you ever wonder about that, all you got to do is look right there. That's how much God loves you. That he'd die for you. Not because you're the best person in the world, but because you're his and he loves you above all else. So, how is it that we can resist temptation? I mean, we know it's around us. You know, we can look at it in lots of different ways. We know that we're still loved even when we stumble, but how can we resist it? That's really kind of the question. Now, a lot of scholars over the years have taken this particular passage and they said, well, every time Jesus was faced with a temptation, what did he do? Quoted Scripture, right? So if you quote Scripture, you know, every time you're tempted, if you quote Scripture, that's your defense against the devil. No, thank you for playing the game, but it doesn't work that way. You can quote all scripture in the world and still stumble and fall. Quoting scripture is not a magic formula. It's not a protective shell. It's not the shield of invisibility. It's not the cone of silence from all temptation. Some of you got that, and some of you have no clue. It's okay. We won't even ask how old you have to be to get that one. Scripture's part of it, but it's only a small part of it. What did Jesus do for those 40 days and 40 nights? What was he doing? It wasn't just reading scripture. He was hanging out with God. He was praying. He was listening. He was thinking. He was asking. He was searching. But most of all, that 40-day experience was what? It was a time to form a relationship with God, a deep relationship with God. Scripture reminds us, helps us to remember. It helps us to remember the relationship. It might give us some insights and clues into the conversations that we've had with God, the words that he's spoken to our heart, the thing that he said to us. But if we want to be able to resist temptation, it's not about how much stuff you got up here. That's important. But it's about what you have here. It's about your relationship to God. And so each one of us needs to spend time. Yeah, we need to read. We need to pray. You need to hang with God. It's that simple. You won't be perfect. That's really hard to be. I've tried that for years. It doesn't work. So my dad said, I may not be perfect, but I'm probably the closest thing you'll ever see to it. My dad was a very humble man. I am not the closest thing that you'll ever see to it, believe me. I am not that humble, no. But what I do know is this. When I mess up, when I goof up, and boy, do I ever. Still loved and accepted and forgiven. So temptation may be all around me, and I struggle and I try and I pray and I fight. But in the midst of all of that, I know one thing. I'm always his. And so are you. Amen. So now I'm